everybody. Welcome back to Android App Addicts, the show where we talk about Android apps, Android phones, mini machines, movies, and whatever else happens to come across our demented minds. I am your host, Mark, the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, and I am happy to be joining these two guys this week. The people you're really here to see, that is Steve, the door-to-door geek, McLaughlin, and Eric, the executive, Ardini. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How's it going?
So far, so good. How about yourself?
Doing good. The house is officially down. The most of it's hauled off, and we've got a big mud hole right now. And we're going to scrape off as much of our dirt to fill in the mud hole to make it a big mud patty, I guess.
Sounds appetizing.
Throw some grass seed on it, I guess, or something. I don't know.
I like patties.
Yeah, Dora, what's going on in your life?
I'm trying to stay sane. Today and yesterday were the first 2 days in 5 months, I want to say, that my son had issues in school. Yesterday, he had a quote-unquote severe meltdown, and today he had a meltdown, just not as severe. So a little bit of drama, but every time I spoke to him, he was extremely sorry for it. He explained to me very clearly what he did, why it was wrong, what he should have done, and he made a promise to me and his mom that he would do better. We have a system in place now. We have a board by the door. Every day we lower the number by one. It was days till Christmas. Then it was days till his birthday. Now it is days until Easter, because the logic is on Easter, we'll give him a present as well, not just, you know, chocolate, candy, hugs, love, you know.
And so
I'm not above bribing him.
If he doesn't straighten up, does he not get an Easter present?
He gets the better he is, the better the present. The worse he is, the less better the present. He'll still get something, but it will not be close to nice.
Or so you should name them, right? So you should put like, you know, new tablet at the top there, and then the things that are, and then like every when he comes home with a bad mark, you just cross that one off. And now we've moved on to the next one. And then if he comes home, you just cross that one off.
You are much stronger than me. See, I would have to have like a scale, like there's 38 days between now and then, like have a span of numbers, and then he loses that present. Just one day and he loses the present. I don't know if I'm strong
enough. All, you know, however you want to do it. But, you know, if it were my kids, seeing that thing and realizing the consequences of it, the dream deferred would be powerful.
It is. I just don't have the, I'm a sissy, and to see him crumble in front of me, realizing he lost something really major, would hurt me deeply. So I try to encourage him. And then if he gets superstar days, I would have to give him extra credit because I love him dearly and I'm salty.
Yeah, my wife and I decided long before we had kids that they would be a good cop and a bad cop, and I'm the bad cop, and I play that role well.
Yeah.
Well, see, me and my wife take turns to keep them off guard. That's my excuse. I'm sticking with it.
I kind of agree. We switch off and on too. There's certain things that they know is going to make me mad, and there's certain things that they know will make her mad. And they try to stay away from those things.
I say when mom's out of town, I enact the Mussolini principle: human rights take a backseat, but the trains run on time.
Oh, there you go.
So, Mark, how was your week? I'm guessing the weather was at least fine.
Oh, it was beautiful here. Yeah, there was a little rain because we live in wet Atlanta, but the last couple of days have been beautiful, sunny, 65 degrees. You know, I know you're hating that hearing that up there in the frozen northeast, but yeah, it's been beautiful.
It's been a little bit cold, but it's been more bearable, less ice when you walk out in the morning, and that's my main gripe.
Yeah, when I walked out to the car this morning, it was like 31, and there was a thin sheet of ice on like a half inch of my windshield. It was rough. I had to like wipe it with my hand to get rid of it. It was just blizzard-like conditions.
And I bet your hand was freezing.
It was unpleasant. I mean, I had to put it in my pocket for a couple minutes to recover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're looking forward to the muddy 50 this weekend. I can't wait. I mean, there's still a little bit of snow left on the ground, but not much.
Right. And I know we had a quick Patreon message, and I'm saying that out loud just to slow everyone down a little bit. We had somebody up their Patreon, but I do not see it. But I do see Scott in a very nice way. I don't want to say complaining, he was encouraging us to, what a surprise, say the app name more. You know.
Scott, that's what show notes are for, my friend. Go to the podnuts.com, click the show notes. Everything is there, intricately detailed. Just saying. Yeah. You got to do some work too, my friend.
That was my excuse, was now everything is at least documented. So worst case scenario, you can see this. Anthony Labreck doubled his Patreon. So I definitely want to thank you, Anthony.
Yeah. Go, Anthony.
All right. I got nothing else to say. So let's talk about some apps. Let's see. Eeny, meeny, miny, door. You go first.
Okay. First app I'm going to bring. Oh, yeah. This one was a Tom Zach one, which means, of course, the transition button ain't working. I messed it up. Okay. Which means it's good. This one is called Lost in Harmony. And if you go take a look at the Google Play page, the first thing you're going to notice is there's no video, which means it must be a stellar game.
Haven't we seen this one before? This looks awfully familiar.
I know we saw it in an email. I don't believe we brought it to the show before. Right. No, there's no. Lost Echo was the last word that lost on 120. It might have been email from Tom or something that he's going to, you know, all of a sudden get credit for, because I'm just repeating it. Gorgeous, silly, crazy, gorgeous game. Looks better than any game animation. It is game animation, but it's more almost artwork, dare I say. Rhythm-based game, like, for instance, the stage, and I think the second picture, you're on a motorcycle coming, you're on a skateboard coming at the screen, flying really fast, and there's things all around you, and you have to tap to the sides and avoid the things that are trying to hit you. A whole bunch of rhythm stages, utterly gorgeous. They say great music. Sure, I don't know. I turned it down as far as I possibly could. but just the visuals on it were literally stunning and smooth. So I had to tip my hat to the makers of this game. And apparently there's a level editor, which I never saw. Didn't get that far. But I just thought it was a really, really good game. Great, fantastic find there, Mr. Zach.
I mean, just looking at the pictures, as you commented, there's not a video. It looks like a Saturday morning cartoon. It looks like professionally drawn cell animation. It really is beautiful.
I logged into the chat late. What was the name of this again? I can't see it. I really want to.
Lost in Harmony.
There you go, Scott.
Okay. Scott who?
Scott, who wanted you to repeat the name of it more often.
Oh, again. good work there, Eric. You get a raise.
Thanks.
All right, good stuff. So when you say beat-based game, mm-hmm. does that mean like you tap the lights to the music? What is the gameplay like?
The things that are coming towards you, think of it almost like Guitar Hero. Okay, where the things are coming up to that point in the screen and you have to hit. The things that are coming towards you, there's a light there. And when you hit them at the right time, it happens to coincide exactly with the beat. So it is a rhythm-based game to the music. You really don't even need the music because it does indicate to you visually where you have to go next. So you see the light, you tap, light, tap, light, tap, light, tap. And when you get perfects, I did notice the music like ramp up to another level. It went to 11 on whatever. It definitely enhanced the audio. I hate to say it like this, Mark. You have to download it and experience it to really get how smooth it is. It's buttery, buttery smooth. It's the kind of game, no intro needed, no explanation needed. You simply hit play and you instinctively, automatically understand it completely.
Is this a game that you would be better off having on a phone rather than a tablet so you don't have to reach so far to tap?
Unless you're ready to use two hands, I say yes.
Okay. And something you probably want to put headphones in your ears. Is it techno music kind of or something?
Sure.
All right.
It's a type of music easily invented after I was born, unless you count that one Beatles song as being techno. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I just got to figure out which device to install it on, and it's going to the note. Thank you, Dor. Good app.
Well, thank Tom.
These are my kind of apps, man.
Yeah, thank Tom Zach for Nudge Nudge Lost in Harmony.
Awesome. So let's see. Door, your turn.
Wow.
Again,
tough.
Okay.
Things are tough.
Okay, give me a second here because I was... Oh, yeah, this one. This one is a game I hate. I literally hate this game. I despise it. It makes me really upset, but at the same token, man, I had at least some fun with it. It's called Retro Rat Race Free. Once again, no video. Completely free, Suisoft Limited Arcade E for everyone. No in-app purchases. This game is asteroids, but instead of just flying around the screen shooting asteroids, making them smaller, you're going through basically like mazes. And I say like mazes because they're not really mazes. They're just corridors where you have to trigger certain things to turn off like barriers, drop through holes to go to different levels. The pictures do it zero justice. It is an incredibly smooth game and, dare I say, gorgeous in the simplicity of its vector-like graphics.
Yeah, so Retro Rat Race Free is an excellent game once again, because if this one had a video, it could probably really help us understand what you just said about this game. But it's that good that it doesn't have one.
Well, I'll put a link in the show notes, and for the people who are watching live, I will play a video here for at least a couple of seconds.
Does this one have music to it, too?
I'm sure it did, and I'm sure I immediately turned it all the way off.
You couldn't describe what kind of music
this one had. Would you say it's EDM, maybe?
I despise audio in games. I'm on my mobile device listening to podcasts. This is just something that gives me something to look at while I listen to podcasts. It's the only way I can put it.
Okay. Well, this one says dubstep goodness, music by Tim Jenkins. So I was just wondering how you would have classified it if you had listened to it at all. Okay.
I would have probably used the word garbage.
Yeah, and if you don't know what dubstep is, watch the Man of Steel movie. That giant Earth killer machine was killing the Earth with dubstep.
Or Skrillex would be a suggested artist, I guess.
So this one, it reminds me visually of like the old Tank Blaster games, like for the Atari, but it's not. It's Retro Rat Race Free, just so that there's no confusion.
Right, and it's a top-down view. The green walls you can hit all you want. Anything red you cannot touch. Instant death. Yellow is like portals. And I'm dead serious. Look at the YouTube videos of this. It is unbelievably smooth compared to the pictures. The static pictures make it look almost confusing, boring kind of thing. But it is genuinely like asteroids meets I don't even know what else. Hard. It's really hard to explain, but it's fun.
All right, and I'm pretty sure that's called Retro Rat Race Free. So
let's see. Suisoft Limited was the developer for that one.
Let's let's shake things up a little bit and have Dorgan. No, I'm kidding. Eric, what do you got for us?
I don't have anything tonight.
Oh, well,
there you go. I'm just kidding. I do. I've got a couple. Okay, so my first app of the night is one that I personally, well, this is weird because Dor said, I'm going to bring an app that I hate, and I'm going to bring one that I absolutely don't need to use, but somebody might need to use this, and I'm going to say it's called Ever Album. Organize photos. So basically I've already got two apps doing this on my phone, and it's hard enough trying to figure out which one should be doing what. But basically this is a easy way to just back up all the stuff on your phone, all your pictures and videos into the cloud somewhere so you can retrieve them and share them easily. I pay for Amazon to do this. Google seems to do it on its own for free with Google Photos. But this, if for some reason, if you don't have Google Photos and you don't have, another paid service or another service that you're already doing this with, this is just one way to make sure when you drop your phone in the toilet, you don't lose all the pictures that are on it.
All right. I have a mild rant that I want to do here, but before we go there, Dor, you have any comments on what the app is?
Well, it's going to be a rant because these are the kinds of apps to me that makes no sense. It's like going into a theater, sitting down at the theater, and then somebody asking you if you want a tablet while you're here to watch something else. what is this redundancy? This makes no sense. This app better do something significantly better, 150 to 200% better than the built-in Google Photos or Dropbox or Amazon or any of the other things that can sync your pictures. If it's just organized photos, which really means nothing, it's probably just sorting them by day.
It'll let you relieve your throwbacks and tell you what you did 3 years ago on this date, like every other app is doing. See, this is a big deal only because it was a huge deal on Apple, and we've already got a million apps doing the same thing. And when Apple, I don't think had as much as many options as we did.
Yeah, and you can back it up to their built-in system, or to Facebook, or Instagram, or Dropbox, or Google Photos, or all of them. So, you know, I guess that's a thing, right? But if you've got Dropbox and you've got Google Photos and you've got Facebook and you've got Instagram, they're probably doing that the moment you take a picture anyway. I mean, I know the Dropbox mm-hmm. and Google Photos does. This, my rant here is, and you guys touched on it in one of your recent episodes of the Mini PC Show. I encourage your listeners to go check that out. It's the cloud for the sake of the cloud. Putting photos up to the cloud is important. I get that. And this looks like it can do full high res, or at least it seems to say it can. But you know, this has got to be a freemium model. It doesn't say that, but there's no way they're going to give you free unlimited storage forever. There's a hook.
It's the exact same model as Google. High resolution are saved for free. If you want full resolution, the actual pixels that your camera took, it costs you money.
So they're playing with the word high there.
Yeah. I think the more they get our pictures up in the cloud on all these different services, it'll be a lot easier for face tracking as we move about the country or city.
Right. But I'm gonna say, like, for example, for Christmas, I got my wife a Fitbit. She wanted one of those because that's the thing now. To know how many steps you're doing. And this thing, you know, I've got a smartphone. I've got a Fitbit. You can pair the two together, but the phone can't take data off the Fitbit. The phone takes data from the Fitbit, pushes it up to the cloud, and then syncs it down from the cloud to the Fitbit, to the phone. You can't do that process without connecting to the internet, which is, it's just using the cloud just because. It's like a checkbox now. You know, and I see other apps doing this, and this feels to me like that. It's like, let's just use the word cloud because people look at cloud, you know, and you know, Doors line has always been cloud means other people's computers. It's just frustrating to me that cloud has just become another checkbox. Yeah, does it sync to the cloud? Great. Do we need it? Well, gosh, no, we hadn't even thought about that. Just can we get to the cloud? You know, and things like your, you know, light bulbs and your refrigerators all want to go to the cloud when there's no need for it. What you need to do is federate like the Nest thermostat, for example. Having that connect to the web is useful when you're away, but the fact that you can only talk to it through the web, you know, going out and back in, is a little silly. And it's just, it frustrates me.
Yeah, I have to believe this. I really don't know who coined this phrase. If you're not spending money for something, you are the product for something. Right. So if they're offering storage for free, for absolutely free, they're either going to put ads someplace in something, or they're literally selling your picture metadata or the pictures themselves to somebody. Eric said facial recognition. There's no doubt whoever can supply anybody with huge amounts of faces and other metadata along with that, there will be companies out there who will throw money at them to use. To me, here's this is why I like OwnCloud, because it's a cloud like service that I own. I know there's nobody seeing my data. Google seems to be very upfront about what they do use your data for, when they use your data for stuff, and why they use your data for stuff that we know of. But other services literally worry me. This kind of thing. I mean, who the hell is Everblum? What the hell kind of company is that?
Ever album.
Just all one word.
Well, yeah. Whatever. It's a horrible, horrible name. But who are? Have you ever heard of them before?
No. I mean, Evernote and Photo Album put together. But no, I've never heard of them before.
See, it's like this. This is the other thing I'll say. Me and my wife have a firm belief. If every week I start to ask her if she's happy with me And if she's cheating on me, then obviously I'm cheating on her, or I'm thinking about it. Why else would I keep mentioning it every single week? The first thing that happens when I go to this website, it says, safely back up and explore your life's memories. So it's not safe. Why else would they say it? Because why do they have to insist it? And then the first testimonial I saw on the page was completely secure and private. Oh, damn it. Sure. I don't believe it.
I'm not willing to. Sight.
I'm not willing to paint them with that broader brush yet. But
nah, I do. I do. Like the Patriot Act is so patriotic.
Yeah. I don't mean to dump on you for bringing it, Eric. But I do mean to dump on Ever Album for releasing yet another thing that nobody needs.
Well, if it did something different, if it did something unique, if it did something extra, if it did something inspiring, I would love these kind of apps. You know what I mean?
It's like it's trying to usher us into the year 2004. This was an app everybody needed in 2004.
Yeah, right. Well, is it that we know how to use our phones enough that we can already press a share button and put something on Instagram where maybe people don't realize that is actually that easy to do?
Some people don't. I will say
that. And I think this may be catering to them who don't realize that all of this functionality comes with your phone when you purchase it.
Well, it was first built for iPhone users.
Yeah, this is the ultimate switchover app. Oh, yeah, I used to have Ever Album on the iPhone. It's just like when I used to have that iPhone.
This is Picasa, is what this is. It's just Picasa on your phone.
Funny you say that, Picasa, Google Photos or whatever. Picasa's dying, but they're going to still leave the photos there in read-only mode.
Yeah, they killed Picasa. I loved Picasa.
Great name.
A long time ago, when it was the only game in town, and then Google bought them.
Yep. All right. You got another one, Eric? Or is that it?
Oh, we're doing two to two? Here's another one.
I'm keeping things shaken up.
Yeah, I'm going to keep bringing apps that nobody's going to use. So here's
awesome.
One that I actually do use that maybe 1/8 of our listeners may use, and it's the Netgear Genie it's the application that you get when you get these new fancy routers they got out now that look like spiders with antennas sticking up all over them, and they're the smart router. And this is how you could just install this app on your phone and get your router up and going with all your QoS things you want to do and traffic and just log into your router really easily and very GUI-y.
Does it work outside the network?
I've never tried it outside the network.
Please say no. Please say no. Please.
Yeah, the answer to that should be an immediate no.
I've never tried. I don't know. I don't think so.
If you disconnect Wi-Fi, does it still work? Try it right now.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Well, no, I could. Disconnect Wi-Fi on my phone?
Yeah.
Okay, let me try it.
It better not. That's all I got to say. It better not. Oh. If it does, that means there's a very ridiculously insecure port public facing on your router, which ain't good.
I got to find it now.
I will say this to me is not, unlike the last app, this is not ushering you into 2004. This is literally just trying to help normal people be more of a network admin. And I'm okay with that use case.
Okay. I only have it installed on the phone that doesn't have any mobile data.
All right.
Gotcha.
So I was preemptively doing that, I guess. I don't know. I don't even see it on that phone. What the heck? Where did I install this? I don't know. I'll have to come back to that.
So this is, it just replaces the web interface with the mobile interface. I ain't mad at that, but it would be a lot simpler to just make a mobile-friendly web interface. And say,
yeah, but then people got to remember 192.168.1.1. And this is just an app. This is button they can push that looks like a genie bottle. Makes it easy for them.
Apparently, I have my grumpy pants on today. I didn't realize it. But
what is the name of this app? Netgear Genie.
Netgear Genie.
Or just maybe Genie. Or just maybe Netgear Genie. Maybe.
Or it's called the Netgear Genie.
It's the Netgear Genie. I don't know. I must have. I don't know what I did with it because I don't. So that makes perfect sense. It says Genie. It's filed in the G's in my app drawer. But like I said, this is only on the one that doesn't have any mobile data. So, oh well. Fail.
Yeah. I'll say I'm technically okay with this. Anything that helps convenience with administration, I'm good for. But God bless it, it better be secure.
It does have ReadyShare, which I think allows you to share files.
You can very easily set up a guest network. That's great.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's built in the router, the guest network. Just, right. I think you have to have a Samsung TV or, I don't know, a Netgear TV or something. I don't even know what ReadyShare is.
I was listening to a one of those quick, like, 60-second podcasts where, you know, here's a daily tip kind of thing. And I'm not going to call them out. I may come back to it later. But this whole podcast of, you know, 60-second tip thing was about the dangers of how the police will come in combat gear and jack boots and drag you out of your house and throw you under the jail if you enable guest access on your Wi-Fi.
I heard it. I didn't like it either.
Why would they say that?
Because somebody could download porn.
Well, because there was a case of a time where somebody had open Wi-Fi on their network and police raided their house, said child porn was being downloaded to this IP.
And anybody who's run a Tor node knows that that's a possibility. People have gone to jail for that. But it just frustrates me because the people who listen to this are not going to be tech savvy people. And they're listening to this person who's an expert. You know, it's right there in the title that this person's an expert. And, you know, the entire message was turn off all guest access, lock it down, and don't even let your brother on when he comes over because you'll go to jail for 50 million years.
No, if you enable a guest network, put a password on it. That's not an option then for them guys. I'm going to throw this out there. I use the universal guest network on mine. That's noted the world over due to podcasting, and it's the noagendashow.com.
Oh, I was going to say default.
No, and then the password is in the morning. So if you ever see that, you ever need one real quick.
I would never connect to one of those. No, no, because I'm pretty sure I'd be getting sniffed. And the unfortunate part is, Mark, nobody really knows or understands any of what the circumstances are behind that. And I had to have the conversation last week. If we record an IP address of a transaction coming into our work network, that does not mean with absolute certainty we know who did it, when they did it, and from what device they did it. All we know is that the IP address given out by Comcast, Time Warner, Fios, or whoever was assigned to this physical address. If it's like a home connection, then we just know it's that house. We have no idea if a next door neighbor did it. We have no idea if a piece of malware did it on their computer. We have no idea if somebody didn't bring their phone over and do it on that device because it's just that IP address. So I had to explain to them the idea of web fingerprinting. And neither of these give you absolute assuredness of who did what. They just give you a tighter a scope of who could have possibly done this. Because the IP address alone, that's one of the things, proves nothing. There's been many court cases. There's been many job issue termination things that have been thrown out because an IP address is not absolute proof of anything. It just causes them to ask you questions. You know. And let me tell you something, cops kick down my door, I'm going to take one of them down because I'm not sure they're cops because cops have no reason to kick down my door. I'm going to instantly assume I'm getting home invaded.
So the old adage of just leaving even your main connection wide open and pleading ignorance and saying, well, I could have been anybody. I don't know who was doing these torrents.
No, cops kick down your door. They are buying you a brand new door. Okay. There's no doubt because you did not download porn and they cannot prove you downloaded porn. So you will be off scot-free and they will buy you a fresh brand spanking new door.
Right. But that's after you've lost your job because you went to jail and after you've already been in the newspaper, door-to-door geek, noted porn, child porn guy. Yes, you will be made whole in the eyes of the law, but you will never get your reputation back.
Now, first off, I would never lose my job. That's why I have the job I have. I could do anything I want. I'm not losing it because I'm a protected species. That's not an accident. And two, it wouldn't get that far. It would not go more than 20 hours. It wouldn't even take that long. The news media wouldn't have time to react to it because there would be absolute assuredness of what happened or did not happen inside my network.
I'm just glad we stream and don't download. So that, That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Foolish Brantley in the chat room says, when did downloading porn become illegal? Specifically, I'm referring to child porn, not just porn in general.
Well, it's copyrighted porn, it's illegal. Right,
exactly. I do know a couple of people who've gotten the lawyer letter from the RIAA because they, you know, had files. So it's not just the police, but my thoughts about that is that you're actually safer running an open node, because then you can prove, hey, I've got an open node here. If everything's locked down and your IP address does something, that's a much harder case to make.
Exactly. Without a doubt. And
so I could use Netgear Genie to take the passwords off of this just as easy. Yeah, that's a great app. Yeah.
But I will say, I when I lived with my mother-in-law, I got my neighbors, her neighbors to get a
my DCMC neighbor's door knocked over.
No. They got a letter from the DCMA takedown notice kind of thing because I was downloading episodes of Stargate for my wife, and I don't care. It's Stargate for my wife. I'll do it again over his network.
My thinking on that, just put it out there, is if it was once broadcast over the air, you don't have any right to tell me I can't download it.
Well,
it was, I know that's not the law.
It was technically Stargate Atlantis, and it was being shown on Sky TV like a month and a half before it was being broadcast in America.
Okay.
So I was time traveling. That's my thing.
All right. So that's four apps. So that means I should owe you at least two emails, and I just don't have them. Sorry. But I'm gonna read the what I have. Our friend Soham Bapat writes back one more time, and he says, love the show. Love the great apps that you bring. I'd like to bring one app to the show, if it hasn't already been brought on the show, called Disco Mark. Yeah. It's a simple app that looks at real life performance of your device. You can select multiple apps from the list of apps installed, and it'll automatically run them for you. I personally liked it since you can see how many apps will remain in your memory. I wish reviewers use this app when comparing performance, as it reduces the chance of human error. Keep up the good work, Soham.
Oh, I gotta say, Eric was so disappointed when he loaded this app.
Yeah, I was psyched when I saw this app. I'm like, all right, and not as it advertised to me. I mean, exactly what he said it was, but not what I was thinking. I just figured it was somebody had taken your face, glued it on John Travolta, and we were going to watch a nice video for a while, but it didn't happen so much.
Yeah, Scott, the name of that app is Disco Mark. That's what he's referring to. Disco Mark by Crazy App Dev.
Yeah.
Rated E for everyone. And there's a video.
And there is a video, which I will say on benchmarking apps is good because it gives you an idea of what it's doing, but I'll first say there is no such thing as the perfect benchmark. A benchmark is literally like a picture, one picture taken during a sporting event. It cannot tell you the entire story. It's just telling you one profile about a device or performance. So really, to get good benchmarks, you really have to have multiples and compare multiples against multiple devices. What this measures is app load time. It doesn't actually evaluate app performance time. So if you just look at one app, what you're really seeing is how well the app developer programmed their app to just load up. Now, if you look at that same load app on the same OS on different hardware, then you start to get an idea of at least like RAM and burst speed on processor, but you don't get complete performance testing kind of.
And see, app developers, Android app developers, if you're listening to me, stop. Stop trying to make your app load faster, because we've been down this road, and the way to make your app load faster is to have a system tray icon where everything loads at startup and totally degrades the performance of your Windows box, right? We've done this. We've played this game. Make your app good, and if it takes an extra second to load, people aren't going to care all that much.
Right, or you just keep them preoccupied during the load with something snazzy, pretty, enlightening, entertaining something. Then the load time is literally insignificant, unless, of course, it's like camera, because my logic is camera, typically you want to take a picture right now, not 3 seconds from now.
Or keyboard. If a keyboard loads slow, it's out.
I have had keyboards literally take like 2 or 3 seconds sometime to load, and I immediately get rid of those keyboards.
Yeah, so I didn't totally get my head wrapped around what this app was doing. I installed it, and it said, hey, pick out your most used app. So I went down, crazy app dev. I got to trust that name. So I hit all those apps, and then it just started opening them. And now that I never watched the video before, but now that I watched the video, it makes perfect sense. If you have three devices all lined up, you can see how quickly it loads them all. But it just kept, it never seemed to stop loading my apps for me. And I wasn't sure how to turn it off. So I did end up uninstalling it. But that's how it works. You tell it what apps you want it to load, and it'll load them over and over again.
And benchmarks in general, whether this is for phones or anything, benchmarks, in my opinion, for the 30 years that they've been around, 40, I guess, are useless. They're only for bean counters, for people who care about stats. If your machine is one cycle per second faster out of 15 million cycles per second, it doesn't matter at all. Phones have gotten tarred, like the original Nexus 5, for example, was mm-hmm. was really tarred for having low specs. It's a weak machine, and it was, why are you using that old processor? The OnePlus One, the original there, same thing. This is, old chip, old processor. It doesn't matter. What matters is how well it works mm-hmm. and how good the end user experience is. So I think, benchmarks in general need to go away. And Eric, I blame you personally for this.
Well,
I'm going to say I love benchmarks because I like seeing a graph, and I like seeing my device beat other devices and people's
and it's gearheads, right? It's the muscle cars for geeks. And there's nothing wrong with it, but we just need to understand that it's meaningless. And I can't blame Soham because he's a good guy, so I have to blame you, Eric.
I have a muscle car. Yeah, you can blame me.
Well, I won't go as far as Mark. I'll say benchmarks are great for benchmark scores, but that's kind of it. That's where their true usefulness begins and ends. And they're cool to have. They're cool. I would say it's a novelty. They're cool for you to see your device versus your last device, kind of thing, to make you feel better about your purchase, kind of thing. But I know after the Droid X, the first one, all those benchmarking tools, I've never loaded one since then, and I've never seen a need to load any of them.
I always liked watching the video content of the benchmarking tools because it's always really cool, and I was like, oh man, I wish that was really a game or something, because I always had some kind of cool graphical, good-looking, display at some point during the test.
All right. That's my email. I've got a couple others. I'll space them out. So, Dor, back to you.
Okay, let me just copy this one thing. So I have Soham's app completely documented, and I'm sure I completely butchered his name yet just one more time. Let me page through a couple. Okay. This is what I want to bring. I don't toot my own horn, partially because... self-conscious, whatever. The other day, I had a meeting at work. It was almost impromptu meeting, asking about in encryption in transport and in encryption in use. And that was all I knew about the meeting. And then on the way to the meeting, I was told I would be the one asked to speak about it. And I knew just a very, 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 very little bit about it. I know in encryption at rest. And I know what that means. I know exactly what that means. That means when it's stored in a database, it's encrypted. You can only see the valid data if you have correct permissions, correct parameters to view this thing. And I understand how it works. So I used that, and I expounded upon that, and I went further. And after the meeting, 40-minute meeting or so, I had 4 people separately email me and compliment me on how kicked ass, meeting went great, learned a lot. Thank you very much. Blah, 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 blah. And this is a type of public speaking. I could not public speak whatsoever about 10 years ago. And I encourage people to try to get over public speaking as much as possible. There's a app here called Public Speaking for Cardboard that I honestly think could help a lot of people. I'll say that. And there's somebody at my door, so I'm going to come right back.
It's the cops.
Do, 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 do,
yeah, I can... Yeah, public speaking is a good way to get out of your comfort zone, that's for sure. And it gets, I think, 80% of people out of their comfort zone. But once you get used to it, the sweats go away. You never look as bad as you think you did when it comes to speaking in front of people. You're your own worst enemy when it comes to that.
See, I'm always the guy that just thrives on it. I love it. If there's a group of people, I want them looking at me. So I can't even relate to stage fright.
Awesome. So did you assume they were intruders, Dor?
No, I believe it was the wife tapping a spoon on like.
It wasn't a jackbooted thug coming to you because of your neighbor's downloads.
No. My networks are quite secure and monitored and audited. So no, I'm fairly confident about that. I did try this Carbord public speaking kind of thing, and I get the gist of it. And I think it's the kind of thing like hypnosis. If you believe in hypnosis, you can be hypnotized. If you believe when you put this on, you're practicing public speaking, I believe this could be a huge benefit to people.
Yeah. Do they laugh when you crack a joke? That would be a good VR app.
No, I got no.
You'd have to push a button. Push the joke button to let them know.
Yeah.
I like the idea, though. This is an excellent use of virtual reality. It truly is one of the first practical applications I've seen, other than, you know, tours of castles and stuff. I like this a lot. It's not the same as being there, but it's literally as close as you can get at home.
Right. And to be honest, what I really love the fact is it's a functional use of Carbord that isn't a game, but it's more of a gamification that can be used to literally help and not just, you know, punch the monkey.
Yeah, the worst part about this app for me was it was hard for me to read my speech
notes
with the Carbord on my face. So I had to keep lifting it up and the crowd would go away.
Well, that's the whole point. See, don't depend on notes. You should be so prepared you don't need them.
Well, I'll say this. The best public speakers are not reading off teleprompters. They just have bullet points.
Right.
And you get to go for that.
If you have more than 10 words on a slide, your slide is too long.
Yes. And I don't agree with Jobs much, but Jobs said very clearly, you should be more interesting than your slides.
Yeah. If you're standing up there reading your slides, just email your slides to everybody and save us all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was in a meeting today actually where there was a lot of words on the slides and the presenters read every word of the slide to us and there was nothing ornamental about these slides. It was just text.
Did each word come in? Each letter of each word come in and go tick 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 as it went across?
There was no motion. There was no there was no transitions between slides. We did have four different speakers read the slides to us.
So they mixed it up in that way. So as you can clearly see here, public speaking for Carbord, virtual speech, education app is E for everyone. This app is compatible with some of your devices. You can, right there, you can see, you can add it to your wish list or you can click install. You know, that to me is not public speaking. That is public dictation. And I see a lot of that.
Wait, I accidentally clicked the thing. Let me go back there. The end.
Yeah.
they say public speaking is the number one fear that people have, even greater than flying or death from accident or whatever. And I think that's not because people are afraid of public speaking, but because people realize they have nothing to say. I think that's the truth of it.
Or they'll be found out that they really don't know.
Yeah, someone will ask the right question and they'll be
And what I tell people when I do go into trainings, like when I'm working with inexperienced people, all you have to know is one thing more than they do. That's it.
I'll just say it better.
Okay, Eric, have you got another app for us? I like this one, Dor.
No, I don't. I don't want to bring the show down any more than I already have with my bummer apps of this week. I do have another one, but I haven't gotten it to work on my device correctly yet, and I don't want to bring it until I know for sure it will actually work. It should.
Well, I'm sure that will get high marks then if the app doesn't even work.
Well, I haven't given enough time to try it out, but it is an editor's choice and from a top developer, so it's probably just me.
Is there a video?
Oh. Yes, there is.
Well, there's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I'm still going to bring it if I get it working, though, but not not this week.
So let me read an email from Bill Franklin following up on his discussion, his letter of love lost and relationships abandoned regarding his keyboard, SwiftKey. He writes, 3 Mondays in a row, I guess I need to put email Android app addicts on my schedule for Monday morning. I bought SwiftKey back when it first came out. I used it for around 5 years and loved it. But a year ago, I decided to see what else was available and tried many keyboards, rejecting all of them and going back to SwiftKey. Anyway, about 6 months ago, I tried AI.type keyboard again. I had rejected it before because it seemed overly complex. The second time around, I spent the time to actually tune it for my use case. I used it and SwiftKey side by side for a month or so, and then deleted SwiftKey and never looked back. Hmm. I recommend you try AI.type keyboard. If you take the time to tune it to your tastes, there's almost nothing you can't make it do. I use swipe typing most of the time, and it's very good at predicting and also gives the option of putting 3 alternatives at the top, and you can touch it if it does happen to get it wrong. There are lots of settings, and some of them might sound familiar, but if you take the time, it will be worth it. The biggest problem with AI.type is that it's overwhelming how many things you can set. They could work on the user interface a little bit to help that.
I think this was an email from Bill. Bill AI-type, okay.
Yes.
I will say this is the kind of keyboard, looking at the video, its power is the flexibility and choice with it, like he said. It's almost like some of the people who come to Linux the first time complain incessantly that there's too much choice. I don't know what to pick. Which one's right? Why should I pick that one over this one? That's what this keyboard is like. You literally have to take time to let it digest. You got to evaluate. You got to look at. You got to learn. And then it looks like this keyboard can be ridiculously powerful, but it is chock full of options.
There are free and paid versions. There are a number of versions in many different languages. For $4, you can add emojis to it. So lots of options in the apps as well as what the app itself can do.
Yeah, and I'll make sure in the notes the free version is the one that is linked to. And if you guys like it, I encourage you, check it out, buy it, because a keyboard is something you use so much, you're going to get your value out of it.
I think I used this one for a while. I liked it because you can add, it's got the 5th row that's customizable. So I like to have numbers on the top row of mine, but other people might want to have like emojis or something different. But one thing I did like about this keyboard, especially on different size devices, is you can change the size of how much room it takes up on your screen too. If you have a fat fingers and you really need a huge keyboard, you can do that with this one. I like to keep it small myself so that I can see where I'm typing, and see the screen that I'm actually interfacing with at the time. But you have those kind of options with this. I like that.
Yeah, and you also have the ability to split the keyboard. Not every keyboard has that option. And if you got a 10-inch tablet or bigger and you want to thumb type, if the keyboard doesn't split, you are not going to be fast, it's not going to be comfortable, and you will make lots of mistakes.
Well, there's even an AI.type tablet keyboard designed specifically for tablets. So
there you go.
Boom. All right, Mr. Door-to-Door Geek, have you got another app for us?
Well, I got like 20 more apps. Okay, I'm going to bring a couple games. I tried to not bring some games, but now I'm going to bring some games. First one I'm going to bring here is called Power Hover. Okay, hoverboards are all the thing. This is not that. This actually is a game that hovers. Interesting graphics choice, I'll say. Not crazy intense whatsoever. Not crazy accurate whatever. A little bit blocky at times, but really smooth most of the time. This is like a couple games mashed together. First, you have you're riding in like a giant half pipe, and you got to avoid obstacles. Then in another stage, you're riding inside of tube, where you can literally go all around the tube, avoiding obstacles. Then in the next stage, you're riding on the outside of a pipe, avoiding obstacles. And then yet in another stage, you're riding on like the top of power lines, where you can jump from power line to avoid obstacles. So this is literally like a couple of games combined. And to be honest, I think it does all of them fairly good to pretty good. Simple enough graphics, you're not going to get confused, you're not going to not see something that's in front of you. That's the reason why I like these graphics. but pretty enough to actually make you stop and think it's pretty cool. There's the one stage, I don't even know what it is. It's a la the worst movie ever, Wild Wild West, where you're going through a desert and there's like a steampunk-esque caterpillars things crawling through the desert and you have to avoid getting hit by their legs.
How do you control your player on this?
You can either tilt, or I do believe there was touch the left or the right side of the screen.
Okay.
Yeah, Power Hover by Odrock.
Odrock. And why? Odrock, yeah. Well, and why I asked, Doris, because you brought the Rockstar game last week. What was it?
Liberty City Stories.
Yeah, and it doesn't have any gamepad support. I was so bummed.
Worked on mine.
Huh?
Worked on mine out of the box.
It worked on yours?
Yeah.
Did you map your keys then? Did you? Is that?
I might have did the on-screen mapping. Yeah.
Okay.
That should say that.
I need to do that, and I just had to turn off my tablet just now because the on-screen mapping program somehow got bumped on. I didn't know what to do with it, and so it wasn't letting me do anything but map things. So, I'll do that then. I will map my keys.
It's that Netgear Genie app that caused the problem on your tablet.
Ding.
No, I never put that on my tablet.
Okay.
I don't have any
data on that. Then it's really the problem if you didn't even install it. What? Sorry, I couldn't help it.
You don't know.
I don't know. I'm going to bring this game as well. And I'm going to apologize because it does have a video, but it is free. It does have in-app purchases. Helps if I put the link in there. It's called Star Trek Timelines. Everybody's going, crazy about all the Star Wars stuff. Well, I thought it's about time we bring back some of the Star Trek love. I'm sorry, this game is everything good about every Star Trek game ever made, plus 10 times more because there really isn't a lot of good Star Trek games out there. You can basically pick your command, pick your crew, pick your ship, go into space, fly missions, and actually fight in space, do actual space combat. I thought that was honestly pretty cool. There was no, beaming down to the planet that I saw of events, but I only played maybe 20, 30 minutes of this game, and honestly, just genuine fun. You could literally pick any, you could grow your staff to pick any character basically in the Star Wars verse from Q, Cutis. You could pick Spock or even Hippie Spock with the headband on. Anybody you could think of that you've seen in Star Trek, I'm pretty sure you can pick, including a shirtless Mr. Sulu.
With a sword. It's got to be with a sword.
Mm-hmm.
What I like about this is the graphics are reminiscent of like Babylon 5 graphics. So it's graphics that are period as well. Not as good as the next generation graphics ever were, but it's just one of those things that we now have computers in our hands that can render the kind of graphics that used to be done by major studios.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just end it with, so if you had a unnatural desire to be Benjamin Sisko, you can now do it. And I would again call you abnormal as well.
I guarantee you there are people out there, their entire crew consists of hotties, right? So there's 7 of 9, there's Bonna Torres, there's Tuvok, or not Tuvok, but T'Pol. It's all the hot chicks, and that's all they have on their crew. Bet you a dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To boldly go where no Trekkie's gone before. I'm just going to throw one more out there. Not game. Interesting. I'm not sure how legit it is or good it's going to be, but I've had it installed for a couple days now. It's called Promo Codes - Support Devs.
It's unavailable in my country, though.
Oh, must suck to be living in your country because it works perfectly fine in Bowery out of Baltimore, Maryland.
I can't get to it either.
Sorry, guess my out of country phone must do it. Promo codes dash support devs by Jack Underwood. E for everyone. No price whatsoever. No in-app purchases. Completely free by top developer. This is an app that other paid apps have to opt into. And if they opt into it, they agree to give away a certain number of their apps. What it does is it gives free advertising. So every 12 hours or so, I get prompted. And it says, hey, you haven't looked at this app in about 12 hours. Why don't you open it up, see if you win a free app. So I open it up. It tells me an app name. I click the big button in the middle of the screen. And if I am lucky, I then bang, get that app for free. If not, I'm still presented with the app. And it basically says, hey, well, you didn't win it. Go ahead and download it anyway. See if you like it. Because like this one is a free app with in-app purchases, where if I would have won it, I would have won some level of the in-app purchases.
What's your icon look like for this app?
I put the link in the chat. It's
neither of us can get to it.
But it's illegal for us to even see it.
I'm sorry. It's like a blocky phone with a orange ticket, like a raffle ticket, pink raffle ticket with a star on it.
Mm. Yeah, I would be interested to hear from our audience who can actually download this app, because I can't. Neither can Eric.
This sounds like it's right up my AMZ Review Trader alley as far as apps go. This would be a good one.
I don't know. I'll just say to everyone in the chat room who are watching this right now, they could easily see I'm showing the app and it says installed on the button. And it says it's this compatible. This app is compatible with all of your devices.
Did you use your app grabber to get this app? No. Link?
No.
Could you?
Yes, I can. I will send you guys the APK file. And just like we did have an email this week. Somebody who wanted Castback, they said they had an Amazon something tablet and they didn't see Castback in the Amazon marketplace. You know, he said, What am I to do? I simply opened up my app Wear Rabbit, hit export APK, hit reply into his email, hit attached it and said, here you go. He was like, oh my God, thank you. That was awesome.
Oh, I was thinking more like App Dragon than that. You don't have to go all there.
No, App Dragon will just give you a link, and I just gave you a link, and then you said the link that's not good in your country.
Okay, that's the same link, though.
Yes, it's going to be the same link.
I was wondering. Okay.
I'm thinking it's that Netgear genie infected.
Yeah. Foolish Brantley can't get to it either.
Yeah. Foolish Brantley can also see on his screen that I can.
You're taking this very personally, Dora.
Doris is showing off. Look what I could do.
Oh, man. Hey, this is why I don't buy phones from an American carrier.
I'm not on a phone. I'm doing it on my computer.
Yeah.
Well, same here. But it's connected to your horribly tainted NSA-infected phone.
It's because you're running Windows, Mark, is why you can't see that app.
I tried it on the Linux box, too. Nope. Try again.
Well, I guess it could be worse. I don't know.
I don't know if it could be worse. This is bad.
I don't know. I'm just trying to make stuff up now.
I'm hand typing this URL into my phone to see what happens.
Oh, good.
Oh man, that's a lot of room for typos there, Mark.
Can you can you compress that? I don't know.
Give a short URL.
Yeah.
You have tiny. Okay. Backup APK saved successfully. I'll send it to you guys in email. I mean, you know.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, but are you going to be able to actually cash out with it? You know, when you try to.
Why not?
When you try to.
Well, you could just use Door's account. That's fine. Like, oh, you have exceeded your number of free coupons. Sorry, sir.
Export.
Start leaving some reviews and you can get some more.
So just go ahead and put that in the show notes so that when Scott goes looking for it, he can just click the link and download the APK right off of your server.
God, oh yeah, you had a look, man.
Scott, this is promo codes support devs, I think.
Maybe.
I don't. I can't say for sure because I've not seen it. Oh, you know what? I just found it.
Why? How?
Well, I saw in your link it said Jack Underwood, and there's a promo codes V2.
Invite only.
Invite only, and I can install. So
it's not the same thing.
But the same guy. So I'm going to click that dev. Oh yeah, he doesn't have anything else. Did you get invited to that app, Dor?
Not that I can remember think of.
Well, I'm gonna install the invite only just to see how that goes.
But you gotta have an invite.
Sometimes an invite only is just suggested just to keep the numbers down. You know, sometimes you just got to crash the party.
We're just making crap up all over the place tonight. I like it.
It could be worse. We could be trying to use scare tactics and tell people to turn their guest mode off.
You will go to jail.
And, you know.
And you will become Big Bubba's favorite little girl. It will happen.
This one time, this guy.
Moving on.
Down in this other state. It was really bad.
Yeah, and this one girl's grandma actually went to jail because the neighbor was downloading movies.
I read that there was an escaped convict with a hook, and this couple was parking in a car.
He said, come here.
So, Eric, any final thoughts for the evening? Any words of wisdom? What does the executive have to say to end the show?
I would like to say thank you for listening. And Mark, I hope we made your day, because this is probably not going to happen again as far as us naming the apps as many times as we did. Because we honestly, it was in the first, oh yeah, see, I can't even name the name of the person.
Scott.
Yeah, Scott, sorry. Okay, so I'm installing promo codes V2 invite only, and in 2 minutes I'll find out whether it's for real or not.
Well, and I did just send you the APK, so go ahead and install both. What's the harm?
Lost in Harmony. Retro Rat Race Free Ever Album Netgear Genie Disco Mark AI Dot Type Keyboard Power Hover Star Trek Timelines and promo codes something that none of us can get to.
Hey, there you go, Scott.
Eric's not done. Forgive me.
I'm not done. We need more voicemails and emails on the show. We haven't had a voicemail on the show for a long time. And more emails and Patreons and Amazon purchases. And yeah, that's about it.
Okay. Dor, take us home.
Now for something completely different. If you have a Windows computer sitting around and you have a iTunes account, where now I do believe if you create one, there's no way around it. You got to use a credit card. Give reviews. Give star ratings. If you were only worth a 2, give us a 2. A 2 is better than nothing. But give at least one podcast every couple weeks a review. Not necessarily Pod Nuts. One's just a podcast. And if we happen to be one of the ones you give a review to, thank you. And if we're not, thank you for supporting other podcasters. Unfortunately, some of our success is directly proportional to how high we are rated in iTunes and how much we are downloaded in iTunes.
And that the also Stitcher and FM dot. Player.f, whatever those others are. But Dor's right. iTunes, for better or worse, is the podcast directory of record. So go through the pain. Make us a review. Every podcast you listen to. I think that's sort of the minimum you could do, truly.
Right. And the last thing I'll end the show off with, don't forget, people, Apple unlocked over 70 devices that were of the 5C make and model and had no problem with it. All of a sudden, Apple is now pitching a fit, saying it's unpatriotic, and they're not going to unlock this 71th device. Don't believe the hype, people. They're just trying to divert the news attention from their stupid Error 53 debacle by now taking a stand saying it's the patriotic thing to do.
Good point, Dor. I totally agree with that, too. A good point.
All right. So I'm going to say goodnight. Thank you, listener, for hanging out with us. Dor, Eric, thank you for letting me be here. I appreciate it. We great fun. Do all those things that we just said do. Throw money at Dor. He deserves it. So we'll see you next week, because that's it for this week's episode of Android App Addicts.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.